Today, honor God's name from Exodus 20 and 7. Read it with me, please. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Listen to the last line again. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let us receive this message today, that our hearts and our lives in word and deed may honor the name of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. We continue this series with this thought. The name of the Lord is sacred. What is in a name? Proverbs 21 and 2 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What do you think about when you hear the name Judas, traitor, Hitler, murderer, Thomas, doubter, Rockefeller, wealth, Beethoven, music, Bill Clinton, Slick Willie, Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Whitewater? When I was a child going to school, they taught us the morality and the virtue of our presidents, George Washington. They told us how he was honest. Obviously, they're not saying much about presidents these days. George Washington said to his father, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree. A farmer spanked his son for pushing the outhouse down the hill. And the son said, why did you whip me for telling you the truth? George Washington told the truth about cutting down the cherry tree, and his father didn't whip him. The father said, yes, but there's a difference. The boy said, what's the difference? And the father says, George Washington's father was not in the tree. So what's in a name? Abraham in the Bible is called father of the faithful. Jacob means supplanter. Israel means prince with God. John means Jehovah's gift. Peter means the rock. What is in a name? The Bible says the name of God is holy as he is holy. Angels bow before the mention of that majestic name. Demons tremble in fear. Satan flees in terror at the mention of the name of God Almighty. Diseases disappear in the presence of his healing power. The name of Rockefeller will open the doors of finance. The name of Einstein will open the doors of science. The name of Michelangelo will open the doors of art. But the name of God Almighty will open the gates of heaven and close the gates of hell. Give him praise. We honor our presidents, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Eisenhower, and Reagan. We honor our generals, Douglas MacArthur, Chester Nimitz, George Patton, Omar Bradley. How much more should we honor the name of the living God, our creator, our provider, our defender, our healer, our father which art in heaven, our shield, our buckler, our fortress, our high tower, our banner, the Lord who is our shepherd. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of highest praise. Give him praise and glory. Now let me give you the wrong use of God's name. The obvious wrong use of God's name is profanity. Anyone who's been to Sunday school two Sundays knows that. I want you to understand that God's last name does not begin with D. This is a cursing generation. Men curse, women curse, like a circus tent full of Marine top sergeants. Children curse. I was at a public school the other day and heard seventh grade students cursing with profanity that would shock you and turn your stomach. And please understand, I don't have virgin ears. I went to the university on a football scholarship, and I heard in the football locker room things that would curl the paint. But I'm telling you what I've heard in middle school conversation among 12-year-old students makes locker room language pale by comparison. Turn on the television and a stream of profanity defames the name of God. Movie critic Michael Medved states that in the film Goodfellas, Martin Scorsese had 272 cursing scenes. There was a major obscenity every 32 seconds. But now, this artistic accomplishment has been surpassed by two live crew who have reached new depths in the sewer for media maggots. I want you to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. These people are not artists. They are pure scum, and they need to be labeled as scum from sea to shining sea. And I want you to listen up. Those of you who curse using the name of God and then say something stupid like, excuse my French, you are bringing the judgment of God upon your house. The Bible says in Leviticus 24:16, he that blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death. The truth is, if we stone the people in America tomorrow who cursed and used God's name in vain, there wouldn't be enough rocks and there wouldn't be enough graveyards to bury the dead people. But I want you to understand that God is writing it down. And without confession and repentance, you have brought the judgment of God upon you and upon your house, and you've lost your soul. The text says, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Guiltless. Hear this, mister. Only the guiltless get to heaven. Hear this, lady. Hear this, young person. Only the guiltless get to heaven. Using God's name in vain damns your soul. Father, if your son emulates your speech pattern, mother, if your daughter emulates your speech pattern, they will damn their soul by copying you. My father for 53 years was a pastor of an evangelical church. We didn't smoke and we didn't chew and we didn't go with those that do. It was God bless us for no more, Acts 2:4. We weren't that narrow group of people who believed if you weren't in our denomination, you weren't going to heaven. We didn't believe all the people in our denomination were going to heaven. My parents forbid their four sons to use any slang that could be considered substitutes for a curse word. For instance, the word heck was considered a synonym for hell. Dern was considered a synonym for damn. And if we used any of those synonyms that were so used on the street, we paid the price for saying the real word. One day when I was about 8 years old and I had just heard the word heck, I thought I'd try out the new word. My cousin came over and I fabricated a creative way to use the word just as quickly as possible. And he ran straight to my mother, who was the enforcer at the Hagee house. She reached over and pulled a switch out from behind the refrigerator in that core of linoleum where she kept a ready stack ready to go. And she spanked me with that switch, for judgment at our house was swift and sure. Afterwards, I went out in the backyard, located my cousin, and I popped him right in the mouth and said, how in the heck did you like that? I looked up. My German mother had followed me out of the house and was standing right behind me. Mister, I want you to know that second whipping was a memorial of her love. I have never forgotten. But I want you to think about how foolish profanity is. What good does it do? A man has a flat tire and he curses the tire. Will that put air in the tire? Will the hot air coming out of your mouth inflate the tire? A woman stumbles into a chair in the dark and curses the chair. Will that stop the pain in your foot? A man is playing golf and he slices the ball into the next county. He curses the ball and curses the club. Will that bring the ball back? Will that make the club repent? It will not. You want to know how I know that? I was golfing the other day and heard a man using a string of profanity. His ball was in the sand trap. And I said, I've noticed that good golfers don't curse. He said, what do good golfers have to curse about? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Pure water comes from a pure well. Polluted water comes from a polluted well. If a man speaks German, he's likely to be German. If a man speaks French, he's likely to be French. But if he speaks profanity, he is lost and without God. Another way to curse and use God's name in vain is the utterance of false prophecy. To use God's name to control other people. To get other people to do your will and not their will. When your objective is to manipulate and to dominate other people, which is actually witchcraft, you are using God's name in vain. When someone says something like, God told me something terrible is about to happen in your life, When someone says you're about to have a heart attack or you're about to lose your job or something terrible is about to happen to your children, that is false prophecy. It has nothing to do with the name of God. It has nothing to do with the word of God. It is not a gift of the Spirit. The three purposes of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:3 are these. Prophecy edifies, which means it builds up. Prophecy exhorts, which means it encourages. Prophecy comforts. Again, it edifies, exhorts, and comforts. And if anyone comes to you and mentions the name of God, and it does not edify, exhort, or comfort, they have used God's name in vain. When someone speaks something into your life that brings fear or condemnation, they have used God's name in vain. They are no better than a madman screaming obscenities in an X-rated movie. A woman called my office the other day and said, Pastor Hagin, a prophecy was given at my church. She's a member of a Pentecostal church in another city. And the prophecy says, I'm to leave my husband and to marry the evangelist who is married and have two children. Wrong! How wrong can you be? That's false prophecy and is straight out of hell. Not everything being said in the name of God these days represents God. And you need to know that. A third way that you can use God's name in vain is through idle words. Matthew 12:36 says, Jesus speaking, but I tell you that men will give an account in the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your word shall you be acquitted, and by your word shall you be condemned to death. Look at that last phrase. By your word shall you be condemned to death. You're going to give an answer to God for every word you speak. But when you use God's name in vain, you are condemning yourself to death. I didn't say that. God said it. If you want to die, keep cursing. Jewish people are so sensitive about using the name of God that when they spell it G/D, lest they profane the holy name. Fourthly, we use God's name in vain through hypocrisy. We profess much and possess little. Self-righteousness is the greatest of all sin. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of my Father. Jesus said, for many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not work miracles in your name? And then the Lord said, I will say unto them, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Listen closely. Jesus said, many will say, not a few, but many will say in the day of judgment. Many who claim to be prophets. Many who claim to be faith healers. Many who claim to cast out demons will be cast into hell themselves. Why? Because they use the name of God in vain to do their will and not God's will. When you claim something has happened in the name of God, when you rigged it to happen, you have used God's name in vain. If I called you down this aisle and I pray for you and I say, receive your healing in the name of Jesus, that's biblical. But if I call you down this aisle and say, you are healed, and God didn't tell me that, I've lied, I'm a false prophet, I've used God's name in vain, and I'll lose my soul if I don't repent of it, because God's name is a holy name, and His name is not to be written at the bottom of all of our spiritual wish list. God says, you be sure when you use my name, I said it. So why is the name of the Lord mocked in America? Why is the name of God mocked in the halls of Congress? Why has the name of God been removed from the schools? Because the name of God, His holiness, His power, and His purity have been removed from the church. The church in America has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The church in America has majored in ritual without righteousness. The church in America has more shout than substance. The church has more hype than holiness. When 38% of evangelicals will vote for a whoremonger for president of the United States, we have forgotten God as a people. If the church loses its respect for God It's only natural that the schoolhouse, the courthouse, and the White House will do the same and worse. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, God rebukes Israel because they have refused to recognize His holy name. Listen to what God says. Hear to the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you. There is no loyalty, no love, and no acknowledgement of God in the land. Do you hear that? Then God says, listen, there is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. That sounds like the portrait of America. Why did this happen? God gives the answer in that same verse. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Did you hear that last verse? A people without understanding of who God is, of His holy name, will come to ruin. You are watching the United States of America race toward its ruination. Notice the three things that God says in Hosea 4. One, God did not blame the government for forgetting His name. Loyalty to God's holy name begins in the church. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, God wants a response from His people. God's name is being blasphemed in the American church. We're now ordaining homosexual pastors. That's an abomination to God. I don't care whose theology school says it's all right. God's word says it's wrong. Therefore, it's wrong. Same-sex marriages are receiving church blessing. It's an abomination unto God. Some Presbyterians are now re-imaging God by worshiping the female goddess Sophia. That's pure paganism. Pure paganism. The Bible says, Paul speaking, from such turn away. If they're doing that in your church, you would be honoring God by getting out of that church. We're now hearing abortion on demand defended from the pulpit. Abortion on demand is not in the Word of God. We are now having a president who is trying to pass a health care package where abortion on demand with federal tax money is guaranteed. Mr. President, abortion is not health care. It's murder. We want no part of it. I'm talking about the church forgetting the name of God. Liberation theology, which is nothing more than Marxism, which is the cornerstone of communism, is being preached from many pulpits in mainline churches. The World Council of Churches has given millions of dollars to communist organizations in America and around the world. What in the name of God does that have to do with the Word of God? Mainline churches are now denying the miracles of Christ, denying the virgin birth, denying the resurrection, denying the divinity of Jesus Christ, denying the inspiration of the Word of God. The Bible is being presented as no better than the New York Times. I want to tell you something that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. I hold in my hand the light of God for this generation and for America, a generation and a nation stumbling in darkness. This is the truth, for the Word of God says, Thy Word is truth. This is the sword of righteousness. This is the bread of life. This is the living water. This is milk for infants. This is meat for men. Read it, live it, and love it. This is the answer for these United States. Notice that when a society loses its respect for God, Malachi 4, God says the natural result is a social sewer. Listen to God's word in Hosea 4. Because you have forgotten my name, there is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. That's the portrait of America and the portrait of a nation that has forgotten the Ten Commandments. When you forget the Ten Commandments, all that's left is anarchy. A society of mongrel dogs biting and devouring each other. Social insanity, where the Menendez brothers shoot their parents and walk scot-free. When a madman gets on a train in New York and shoots 9 people in cold-blooded murder and injures 13 more, and his lawyer counselor says he's suffering from racism. That's insanity. That's not intelligence. That's the mouth of a moron. When a rap song calling for the murder of policemen climbs to number one in the charts, and a teenager listening to that song goes out and murders a policeman, that's social insanity. That's moral insanity. We as a nation are paying the high cost of low living. This is not intelligence. This is social insanity. And the answer is back to the basics, back to God the Father, back to the Ten Commandments. This works. Give the Lord a praise. Thirdly, God says in Hosea 4 that a people without understanding will come to ruin. And I say again that America is racing toward ruin. In Singapore, an American boy is whipped for vandalism. And our Caesar Milquetoast president petitioned the government of Singapore to have mercy. The whipping, they said, was equated with torture. Nonsense. Solomon's position on caning is given in Proverbs 23:13. Quote, withhold not correction from the child. If you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You will save his soul from hell. End of quote. Of course, Solomon didn't read Dr. Spock. America can learn from Solomon and possibly Singapore. Chicago and Los Angeles have the same population as Singapore. Last year, Chicago and L.A. had 1,909 murders. Singapore had 58. Which society would you rather live? L.A. had 1,781 reported rapes. By itself, Singapore had 80. The fact is, in America, the rights of the individual have destroyed an orderly society. We live in a no-fault society, and it has produced utter chaos. There is no such thing as absolute freedom. The oceans do not have it. They're hemmed in by the shores. The stars do not have it. They're hemmed in by the universe and the hand of God. No one has absolute freedom. But the message of the Ten Commandments is there's a limitation to man's behavior. There's a consequence for your choices. And when you violate God's law, there's a penalty to pay, and you cannot get away from it. America needs to hear that. Every time you use God's name in vain, you spread the virus that feeds the cancer that's destroying the soul of this nation. The point is, the church cannot blame the courts, the schools, the media, the government, for the godless nation. We, the church, we, the army of the living God, have signed an armistice with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have saturated ourselves with compromise and carnality. We have become comfortable Christians. We have taught and practiced a cafeteria Christianity. I'll obey this. I won't obey that. I'll accept that. I won't accept that. Let me tell you something. We in doing so have held the hand of the devil while we have chiseled over the doorpost of the church and the nation the word Ichabod, which means the glory of God hath departed and his name is no longer honored. It is time for the church and for the nation to stop preaching a bumper sticker theology and start preaching the living word of God. This is the truth. Practice this. Back to, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Back to, thou shalt not have any graven images. Back to, honor the name of God. Back to, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Back to, honor your mother and your father. back to thou shalt not kill, lie, cheat, steal, covet, or commit adultery, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the answer. What's wrong with that? It works. Let's do that. Here's the right way to use the name of God. In the book of Matthew, Jesus taught the principle of binding and loosening. In Matthew 16:19, the Bible says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Why did God give you that power? Obviously because you need it. Bind what? Bind the power of Satan over your life and the members of your family. Listen to this verse, Matthew 12:29. How can one enter into the strong man's house, that's speaking of Satan, and spoil his goods? That means take from him what he's stolen from you, except he first bind the strong man. God says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that Satan's objective is to rob, to kill, and to destroy you. So how can you muzzle him and render him powerless in your life, in the lives of your children, in your business, in the lives of your children? You can do that by binding and loosening. If you don't know how to bind Satan out of your life, you will live in perpetual defeat, emotional despair, and never reach the spiritual objectives God has for you. Satan hates peace. He's the father of torment, and he is the father of every confusing spirit. Satan hates truth. He's the father of lies. Satan hates light. He is the prince of darkness. If you don't know how to use the name of God in the defense of yourself, he will rob you of your health, your joy, your finances, and your family. He will destroy every peaceful relationship that you have, and you will not live one happy day. You will be tormented with depression, a lack of self-confidence, a lack of self-worth. He will rob you of your hope and crush your dreams. But God has given you the authority to use the name of Jesus and his name to bind the powers of darkness. Now listen to this. Is Satan attacking you in your finances? You're tithing, but you're always behind the power curve financially and you never get ahead. How many of you does that describe? Let me see your hand. Probably several hundred here. Now if you're not tithing, you're a thief, so I'm not talking to you. I'm going to talk to you when I preach on thou shalt not steal. You'll want to be here on the front seat. But I'm talking here that Satan is attacking your finances. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that you are the Lord. You are almighty. You are all-knowing. You are a sovereign God. Satan, I bind you for my finances according to Matthew 18. I bind you for my business. I bind you for my employees. I release the blessings of God, for he has promised to fill my cup with overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I release the treasure house of heaven for the benefit of me and my family, for we are yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As soon as you start to pray that way, every demon in Bear County gets out of your house. Let's say, let's go next door and get on those folks. They don't know how to do that. They're over there staring into crystals. If you're having problems with your health, a major disease, or you're suffering a series of nagging ailments that will not go away, here's how to use God's name properly and powerfully to recapture your health. Say, Satan, I'm speaking to you in the name of the living God and of his son, Jesus Christ. I am the property of Almighty God. You have no authority over me. Jesus Christ has paid for my healing at Calvary, and by his stripes I am healed. I am free from sickness. I am free from disease. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I am free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God is my healer. God is my defender. God is my rock. God is my high tower. Now you are bound. Leave me and release the health of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the Lamb. How do you release the power of God to bring harmony to your marriage? Let me tell you again, Satan hates harmony in the home. He resists every harmonious relationship in the church. Here's how you bind him in the name that's above every name. Just say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the name of God my Father. God is the author of marriage. My home and my life belongs to God the Father and of His Son Jesus Christ. We now bind the powers of darkness that are attacking my marriage relationship. I bind the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of domination, the spirit of manipulation. I bind the spirit of confusion. I bind the spirits of resentment, of rejection, and self-pity. And I now release the joy of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I release the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I release the love of God that has no boundary and knows no limit. Brother, do you feel what I feel? That's the power of the living God. The name of the Lord is a high tower. Defend yourself with it, and God will save set you free. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That's how you use the name of the Lord the right way. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say that with me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Can we stand to our feet? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the name that's above every name. I thank you for the holiness of the name of God the Father, for the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, today, that our love for that sacred name may explode in this nation. And now for those that are in this audience and the millions that are watching and listening around the world, let us release that power that Jesus Christ may be glorified and God the Father may be honored. In His name we pray and ask it. Amen. While the organist is playing, how many of you in this building can say, Pastor, I have used the name of God in vain, and I'm asking God today in Jesus' name to forgive me. Can I see your hand right where you are? Be honest with God. Dozens, probably hundreds, are raising your hand right now. And I want to have a personal prayer with you. And I want to tell you why. Because you have invited the judgment of God on your house and on yourself. And until that thing is broken properly, you are under the judgment of death. And I want to have a prayer with you today that this thing will leave your speech and leave your mind, because it is the devil's trump card to destroy you in this society. Now, how many of you in this room can say, Pastor, I need to bind the powers of darkness from my marriage, from my health, or from my finances? If that describes you, raise your hand right where you are. God bless the hundreds of you that are raising your hand. And I know tens of millions around the nation and around the world would be doing the same thing if we could get in the same place. We're going to have a prayer service that will include us all as they sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. I want every one of you in this auditorium that raised your hand and said, Pastor, I have taken the name of God in vain. In whichever way you've done it makes no difference. But you want God to forgive you of that? I want you to come, and we're going to pray right now as a testimonial that we want to honor the name of the Lord. As they sing, will you come? Oh, the blood of Jesus.
It was shed.
longer that are watching around the nation and listening around the world, join us as we pray together here in San Antonio, Texas, at the Cornerstone Church. Pray with me, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm praying to God the Father in your holy name. And I'm asking forgiveness today for using the name of the Lord in vain. Forgive me, God. Cleanse me from that sin. As from this day forward, I honor His name in my speech, in my thoughts. For He is God, and there is none like unto Him. And He is worthy of my highest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to change gears and have a service of binding and releasing. You're in this room, and you're wanting God to release His blessings to you financially. Let me see your hand. Raise it right where you are. Right where you are. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm appealing to God the Father in the authority of your name. Right now, I release the resources of heaven that God may meet my financial needs. God will supply my need. And I claim that in Jesus' name. And I bind the powers of darkness that would keep God's blessing from me. And now in Jesus' name, I receive the blessing. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Give Him praise and glory. Give Him praise and glory. Give Him praise and glory. In your health. How many of you need help in your health? Raise your hands. Pray with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I bind every sickness. I bind every disease. It has no place in me. I am your child. My healing has been paid for at Calvary. I'm free in Jesus' name. His stripes have made me free. In Jesus' name, in the name of God the Father, I receive my healing. Now give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Bless His holy name. His name is worthy of our highest praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory unto the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. How many of you need help in your marriage? Let me see your hand. Hold your hand up and pray with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I bind every hindering spirit that torments my marriage, that torments the relationships I have with my children. And now in the name of my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive deliverance. I bind every hindering spirit. I bind the powers of darkness. I release the joy of the Lord. I release the peace of God. I receive the love of heaven. In Jesus' name. In the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let my marriage be whole. Amen. Give Him praise and glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Give Him praise and glory. Hallelujah.
To order a copy of today's message, call us at 210-491-5100.